This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Frankie there for you. Remember him, Frank Sinatra? He's been gone for a while now. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We're still here. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thanks for joining us. It's Monday, January 13th already. Wow. Doesn't feel like January, does it, Ed? It seems so warm out. We've had really warm weather all winter here, and I guess most of the country's had it pretty warm. That's the way it goes sometimes, right?
I got in my truck yesterday, and the temperature said 95 degrees.
95? It wasn't that warm.
It was sitting in the sun, mind you.
Yeah, beaten down. Yeah, it's been very warm. I kind of like it when it gets a little colder for the change. Anyway, we got a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Ben Lieberman. He's of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about how environmental laws have been weaponized to delay major work projects. Oh, yeah. So stay tuned for that. And was the Department of Justice willing to bargain with a Russian oligarch in hopes of taking down Donald Trump during the Obama administration? We're going to take a look at that as well. And Bernie Sanders, you know, his Medicare for All program, it's a big bag of deceit. We are going to discuss the real effects if his plan was ever carried out. And, you know, it's all football these days. Did you guys watch any of the NFL playoffs over the weekend? And then tonight we got the college football championship. So we're going to give you the top 10 greatest NFL coaches. See if Ed can figure out who number one is. So stay tuned for that as well. Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. Easy to get to. And when you get to that shopping plaza, he's right smack dab in the center of it. You can't miss him. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, don't forget to visit our website, ourfreedomworks.com, so that you can keep up with who we're going to have on, and you can listen to our past programs. That puts all of our shows on podcast. Thank goodness. I've got all kinds of people that tell me they listen on the podcast, so it's really good to have that. You'll be able to, when you go to the podcast, you'll see who the guest is in our top 10, a whole bit. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay, we got a lot of things, as usual, going on. This is what we call impeachment week, Ed. We're all excited about that. We want the delivery of the impeachment documents. I think that's going to be a formal ceremony where Nancy Pelosi goes to her medicine cabinet and formally takes the impeachment documents out. They're in an envelope. They are then carried across to the Senate office. And so we're all waiting for that. And then away we go with the Senate trial. In the meantime, this is something that I saw in the Federalist, a previously unnoticed passage in the IG report, you know, Michael Horowitz's report, on the surveillance of the Trump campaign shows that, or suggests that, Bruce Ohr and his buddies were willing to bargain with a Russian oligarch to take down Trump. The 200 plus pages into the report, while they were talking about this Bruce Orr and his contact with Crossfire Hurricane author Christopher Steele, he of the Steele document. Horowitz reveals a significant detail that most people have overlooked. And it says, in 2016, Orr conveyed a meeting regarding a strategy in dealing with a Russian oligarch. The report said that after the meeting, Orr's colleagues who attended the meeting asked Orr, why was the government supporting trying to work with an oligarch? And here's Orr's reported response. Orr said that Steele provided info that the Trump campaign had been corrupted by the Russians and that the corruption went all the way to President-elect Trump. So they decided that they were going to, I guess, hobnob with this oligarch. I mean, it's really ridiculous if you think about the Department of Justice dealing with a Russian oligarch. What is going on? It's kind of scary, isn't it? In the meantime, you know, they're going to have this FISA court, what would you call it, cleansing? You know, the way that it's been compromised because the FBI, when they brought the request for surveillance, screwed around with the request document, wasn't totally upfront. Well, anyway, the FISA court stunned court watchers by selecting a former Obama lawyer who appeared on the Rachel Maddow show. His name is David Criss. He's written extensively in support of the whole surveillance. They're going to use him to come up with a plan to cleanse the FISA court of this kind of abuse. Now, isn't that the worst guy you could use? That doesn't make any sense. What's going on? This is roiled Republicans who have demanded accountability at the FBI. In fact, Devin Nunes, who's the House Intelligence Committee ranking member, said the whole thing was shocking and inexplicable. He said, it's hard to imagine a worse person FISA court could have chosen outside of James Comey to look into cleansing this thing. He said it's a ridiculous choice. The guy's name is David Criss. Why would they select somebody like that? I mean, everybody, they've got to know that people would raise an eyebrow when they heard that. Can't they get somebody that, I don't know, would appease both sides? You'd think that they'd find somebody. Nunes says, of all the people in the swamp, this is the guy you come up with? The guy that was accusing me of federal crimes, me being Nunes. The guy that was defending the dirty cops at the FBI. He says, the court must be trying to abolish itself. That's what it sounds like. He said, there is long-term damage. Anyway, and then Trump said, you can't make this up. David Criss, a highly controversial former Department of Justice official, just appointed by the FISA court to oversee reforms to the FBI's surveillance. Zero credibility, he says, the swamp. Okay, so there you go. All right, let's do this. We're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about all of these environmental laws and whether or not they've been weaponized to delay major work projects. So stay tuned.
Well, I wanna da-da-da-da love it. Oh, well, I wanna da-da-da-da hug it. So baby, can't you see that you were meant for me? I want your loving, yes sirree.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Open up a honey, it's your lover boy, me that's knocking. Why don't you listen to me, sugar, all the cats are at the high school rocking.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. Hope you're bubbly and full of energy. Delighted to have Ben Lieberman. He is a senior fellow for environmental policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to talk a little bit about this NEPA reform. The National Environmental Policy Act, which the White House talked about, released a proposed rule 4 days ago. And Competitive Enterprise Institute feels that this is a big step towards correcting some of these abuses. Ben, welcome to Freedom Works.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure, Ben. I know that most people don't know much about all of this, you know, but apparently, a lot of these environmental laws have, in fact, been weaponized to slow down or actually stop work projects. Tell us a little bit about that, would you?
Yeah, well, NEPA is a very old environmental statute. It was enacted on January 1st, 1970. Apparently, I think President Nixon was watching a bowl game as he was signing it or something, some story like that. Really requires that any project that that affects the environment requires federal permits or is on federal lands or involves the federal government in some way, that an environmental assessment be done. It doesn't require that that the government decide not to go ahead with the project. It's just a procedural requirement. Let's have an environmental assessment. Let's make it public so everybody can look at what that assessment has to say. But over the years, it's become a real delaying tactic. It takes an average of 4.5 years for major projects, including pipelines, including all the kind
four
of
and
infrastructure
a half
we need.
4.5 years?
Yeah, four and a half years, and then that's before you get sued by an environmental group, which will drag it out even longer. In fact, this is a routine thing that's done with these projects. Environmentalists string things out as long as they can, including with litigation. Now, in terms of the Trump administration proposal to streamline this statute, you know, it's been attacked in the mainstream media as this disastrous environmental rollback. Well, I wish it was that good, but it is useful. It does do some very helpful things in terms of streamlining the process, putting one agency in charge rather than a bunch of cooks in the kitchen, putting a 2-year time limit on these analysis, which is still very generous, what would be a huge improvement, trying to rein in the extent of the analysis, and also trying to speed up the litigation. My sense is it'll be very helpful for administrations like the Trump administration that want to go ahead with these projects and approve them, but for a Warren administration or a Sanders administration that want to gum up the works, I don't know if this proposal will be able to prevent that. So, but it is helpful, and it's something that the Competitive Enterprise Institute will strongly support.
Sure, I understood. Now, are most of these projects we're talking about related to energy and fossil fuels?
A lot of them are pipelines, energy export facilities. As you know, we're becoming an energy exporter as we're producing more and more fracked natural gas and oil. But these exports facilities have to be built, and some of them have been subsumed in the red tape of this statute, but also the pipelines that it takes to get the natural gas and the oil from where it's produced to where it's needed. So a lot of energy projects, a lot of things that are going to be needed for the U.S. to achieve its energy dominance agenda are greatly slowed down by this project.
By
NEPA.
Yes, in fact, we all remember the delays that were going on. I don't know if it's directly connected to this this thing, but during the Obama administration, trying to connect the pipeline that was going, you know, from Canada down to Texas and all of that, it seemed like it was forever, and they never did even approve it then. I guess finally they approved it, but it took years and years. Very, very frustrating. I would think that. I would think that because of that, in many cases, many things that could be done do not get done. No projects are even thought of because of the fear of the delay. But you say this. You say in the hands of environmental litigants, this statute, meaning the NEPA statute, has morphed into a project killer. So indeed, a lot of projects don't even see fruition, I take it.
Yeah, well, think about the perspective of investors. Do you want to invest in a project knowing that they may not break ground for 3 years or 5 years or 7 years or in some cases even 10 or more years? And so it's discouraged investment just knowing how long the approval process will take. And there are some studies that suggest that America's infrastructure isn't what it ought to be because of this statute.
Really? Our infrastructure itself is suffering? So, go ahead.
Even highways projects, even just highway expansions can the approval can drag on for years.
Yeah, I mean, so do you think that there's any teeth in these reforms by the White House on this proposal, and what chances do you think it has of any kind of passage?
Well, since it's just a proposed rule, so now it's open for comment, and CEI will comment in favor of it, but will probably offer some suggestions on how it could be made stronger, and then of course, the environmentalists will oppose it, and then the agency, based on those comments, will issue a final rule. So that'll probably get litigated, as everything else does these days. But I think we will have that rule. We'll have at least some improvements, and maybe some substantial improvements to the streamlining this process.
Sure. You know, on a larger, I guess, scale, this whole thing about how the our involvement with energy and climate change, and people, you know, on both sides of that issue are squaring off. I'm not even sure that, I mean, the climate change is a huge issue, but I don't know, you know, on the list of what the voters or what American citizens consider important, climate change doesn't, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to register that high from what I've seen. Do you think that it's that big of an issue in terms of the minds of the American public, these kinds of things, or is it, you know what I mean? Does it get its just place in the hierarchy of concerns?
I think the American public gets it. They intuitively recognize that this is not the crisis that it's made out to be. And so it's not a high priority issue. In fact, I've seen polls where people are asked about, you know, upwards of 20 issues, and climate change ranks 20th or 19th or maybe 18th. It's not a high priority, and I think it's because the general public gets it, that the scary things we're hearing about climate change are not true, and that the proposed solutions are more economic pain and less environmental gain.
Yes. We're talking with Ben Lieberman. He is a senior fellow. He specializes in environmental policy for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about a proposed rule that would reform the National Environmental Policy Act, which is called NEPA, I guess. Everything's got an acronym in Washington. We've got this element that believes that somehow the government is going to make things better when it comes to whether it's health care or poverty or, in this case, the environment. And yet it always seems like the truth is that it's the private sector that comes to the rescue. And I'm wondering, Ben, even in the environment in the long run, people don't want to pollute their own backyards. They want clean air. They want clean water. They want a healthy planet. Left to their own devices, typically, don't they understand the importance of keeping things like? I mean, I guess we're looking at the general philosophy. Or is it true that people are just so much out to make a buck that they're willing to sacrifice their own water and air?
I think you're hitting on something that's very important, and that is we don't always need federal mandates to protect the environment. There is a role for the private sector, and there is a role for levels of government that are closer to the ground, the state levels,
right,
the local levels, where these projects are occurring, where the alleged environmental damage will occur. There's much to be said for free markets, limited government, rule of law, property rights as being ways that create societies that both have the technological advancement to reduce pollution, but also have the wherewithal to do so. I think you're right. Whether I would go so far as to say there's no role for the federal government,
I wouldn't say that far.
But
we've
certainly seen the federal government's role get out of hand, and actually in ways that are counterproductive. For example, this NEPA statute we're talking about gets in the way of natural gas pipelines. Well, natural gas is a much cleaner alternative to coal and other energy sources. We aren't really helping ourselves when those projects are also being delayed or even derailed.
Right, and then you look at places like China and some of these other countries that don't seem to care at all. Although even China is starting to recognize, I guess, that they've got to kind of look out for the things that they are doing. But, I mean, the United States has been more of a leader than, although Trump doesn't get a lot of credit for it, the United States has still been more of a leader, have they not, in this whole thing? Or are they really as bad as they're sometimes made out to be when it comes to the environment?
Oh, well, there's statistics on air quality and other measures, and by any objective measure, we're not seeing any decline because Donald Trump is president. That's just rhetoric. And,
yeah,
and around the world, some of the worst environmental records are seen in totalitarian countries.
Always, it seems to me, that's certainly not on their front burner. They got more things to deal with, right? Exactly.
Staying in power and killing off their enemies
ahead
of climate change.
I wouldn't look to Russia or Iran or China, as the leaders in working for the environment. But anyway, it's always a pleasure, Ben. Thank you so very much for coming on and discussing all of this, and hope to talk with you down the road.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ben Lieberman, Competitive Enterprise Institute. All right. Going to take a break. And when we come back, this Bernie Sanders Medicare for All campaign, I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about really what it would do if it were ever enacted.
Here we come. Surf City.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. And if it's Monday, it means we've got Angelo. Angelo, our buddy who oversees what's going on up north for us while we're down here in the southern part of the country trying to fix things. Angelo, I've noticed that your New York mayor... former mayor, Michael Bloomberg, is very much in the news. We're getting all kinds of ads from Bloomberg, and he's not going to worry about anybody else. He's just going to throw a pile of money, maybe possibly billions of dollars, into his campaign. And I guess he feels that, I don't know, maybe they'll go to a brokered convention, you know, the Democrats, where he might have a chance. Do you think that Michael Bloomberg has any chance of becoming the Democratic presidential nominee?
Not really, no. I really don't think so.
Really?
No, I really don't. I think your main contenders are going to be Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, then Pocahontas.
Though. And Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that Warren and Sanders are starting to, you know, they've been trying to keep friendly because they're both kind of like the same philosophy, yep. Right? But I noticed that now Elizabeth Warren is going after Bernie Sanders. Apparently some of Bernie Sanders' people, you know, when they go out and talk with voters, they've got a list of things they talk about in terms of why you should consider Elizabeth Warren rather than Joe Biden or Pete Buttigieg or even Elizabeth Warren. And apparently they've said some negative things Sanders people have said some negative things. Now she's upset with that. So they're going after each other a little bit, which is very,
Is normal for a campaign.
Yeah, it's normal. You know, you're going to do that. We're going to talk a little later, Angelo, about this Medicare for All, which is a big bag of deceit. Well, the more you know about it, but it's very enticing when you hear that you can get free health care. You know, But that just sounds so great, you know. You're going to be able, and of course, that's not exactly what you'll get. You'll get long lines. You'll get, in some cases, you'll get bad service, and we'll end up becoming more like Canada or England or places where they complain about the quality of the care.
Well, I know one of my wife's friends, when she was working in a school district, the family was from England. And, you know, they had their socialized medicine.
Right, there. Years and years of it.
Her mom had to wait and wait and wait, and she finally passed away.
Oh, gosh.
Waited too long. And, you know, she's going, the people in the United States and America really don't appreciate what they have over here. If you go to socialized medicine, it's not what people really think it is.
Oh, not only that, it's going to bankrupt us.
It's going to bankrupt us. And
did you know,
nothing in life is free?
No. In fact,
people that, you know, they want free education, free this, free that. These people that go around touting this here thing, you know, everything is free. It's not.
Of course not. Of course not.
And, you know, somebody's got to pay for it.
I mean, no one's going to go to work for free. You think hospitals are going to open up and they're going to work for free? No. In fact, the numbers here, as much as $40 trillion with a T over the first decade for a Medicare for all.
If Sam, yeah, that's what
now,
they
who's
say.
Going to pay for that? No, you know, nobody. We can't afford it.
It's ridiculous. But the American people are so gullible.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that, you know, what is the... What they say was that 51% of the population doesn't pay, but 47% always does, you know, taxes and all that.
Sure.
They're the ones that will want the free this and free that all the time.
So this is the week that Nancy Pelosi may finally hand over the documents of impeachment to the Senate.
Right, and I guess it's a ploy, supposedly. Now, this is what I've read. I don't know how true it is. That it's a ploy to kind of block Bernie Sanders from, you know, you send it to the Senate, they got to have a trial. That means they cannot campaign in Iowa, which the caucuses will be starting up in the next few weeks.
As soon as the trial begins, all of the senators are obliged to be there for the trial.
That's
and
correct.
So that includes Bernie.
That is mandatory, though. That's what I read. I don't know if it's mandatory or not.
Well, it is mandatory that you appear. Yes, you have to be in session. It's like a juror.
Supposedly, to block Bernie Sanders from trying to get the nomination or winning in Iowa.
Yeah,
that's what they're saying. Who knows?
Who knows is right. But yes, I mean, all of the senators and are supposed to be there. They're like jurors, you know. It's what
right.
The juror decided, I'm not going to show up. I got something else going on. No, I don't think so. You'll have to show up.
It doesn't work that way, right.
Yeah. So that's, you know, something that I guess is going to finally occur this week. Do you think Nancy Pelosi has a lot of egg on her face? I
think it does.
From holding
in a way, I think this thing has backfired. You know, I don't know where she got her information from about delaying the process a bit. I heard that it was like from John Dean was kind of...
John Dean? You mean from the Nixon years?
Yeah, from Nixon years. Yeah, it was saying that she didn't really have to turn the articles of impeachment right away, you know, and all this talking. Maybe she's getting some information from him and other people. And I think she was caught between a rock and a hard place, you know?
Right.
Because I think she was pushing this impeachment thing because of the far left of her base, of the Democratic base, wanted this impeachment. Because if you remember correctly, when that Rashid person there called for, she said that we're going to impeach the mother effer there when she got elected. This was all pre-planned, and these people were pushing it, and she was trying to, you know, cater to her base there, the radicals.
Well, everybody knows he's not going to be tossed out, no matter what they do, and you're not going to get two-thirds of the Senate, which is mostly Republican, to throw out Donald Trump. They're not going to do it. So that thing will finally be over with, and then I guess they can get back to their campaigning.
But the thing is that... Mm-hmm. She was saying that he's going to have this asterisk after his name, impeached. You know, it's going to be there for life.
Right.
And I think this is what they really wanted to do.
I think so. I guess they're hoping that somehow, if he's got that branded into him, it's going to maybe give them a chance in November. Do you think? I mean, Are there?
I'm hoping that that the American people really see what this whole thing has been about for the last 3 years, over 3 years, oh, you know, 3 years now.
Right.
And it's just been a farce. They've wasted our money. They have divided this country to no end. And you know, these people are just too crazy for what they have done.
Yeah.
I've never ever seen anything like this in my entire life, ever.
In the meantime, the Iran-Iraq situation, apparently the protesters are out in Iran, and many of them are calling for the head guy, Ali Khamenei, to step down.
Yeah.
And I think Trump's delighted to see that. He tweeted his support to the people of Iran, saying, I've stood with you since the beginning of my presidency. So he's getting on board this whole thing. Then they have that airliner. They finally admit they did shoot it down.
Yeah. Why would you let an airliner take off when you're firing missiles?
I know.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I don't understand.
I sure wouldn't want to be on any stinking plane when there's missiles being shot. But apparently, maybe it was quiet at that time, and nobody knew about it. I would suspect that the airliner and the people, you know, the pilots, et cetera, didn't know that there was anything like that going on. Obviously, they wouldn't have done it. But apparently, somebody intentionally shot it down, thinking that it might have been some sort of a warplane or something.
Right, right. But, you know, when you're in those, when you're in that situation and you have incoming coming in, you know, that adrenaline is running and you're looking for anything, you know?
So,
I mean, just like when we were in Vietnam, you have incoming coming in. You're at heightened alert.
Of course. Absolutely right, yeah. So
I can understand it happening, but you take precautions not to let these civilian airliners, or you keep the civilians out of the area, you know?
Yeah. Iran doesn't mind firing on innocent people, apparently, though, because they even fired on some of their demonstrators. Videos emerged.
I guess clamping down on them, yeah.
Videos emerged today showing Iranian police and security forces firing live ammunition.
Yes.
Live, not just tear gas.
The live ammo.
Bullets to disrupt and disperse the demonstrators.
So much that they're supposed to have, huh?
Yeah, I mean, what's going on over there? And a cleric, of all things, you know, running the government. And they go ahead and shoot them. That's kind of weird.
Got a bunch of hypocrisy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely right, absolutely. So tell us, Angelo, is it as warm up there in New York as it seems to be across the country? Is this some sort of climate change going on? What's going on here with all of this?
Well, the weather changes all the time. The other day, I think we hit a record of 64 degrees.
Yeah, do you have any snow up there right now?
No, it's all green. We had a green Christmas, you know. 57% of the time, we have a white Christmas, you know. But it's been like this for years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the records date back from like when I was a kid. So, 57% of the time. I mean, when I was young, I remember we've had green Christmases. You know.
Oh sure. Do you think
the weather's been great? You know, I'll take it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. But I've always thought that, you know, everything goes in cycles.
Yes.
And it's just a cycle we might be in. I think clearly we've had warmer weather than we've normally had here in Florida, same thing. I mean, you know, it's much warmer than usual right now for January. But I don't know. It's kind of cyclical, you know. And that it'll come back, and we'll be back into colder weather, you know, and go through a cycle like that. That's, I don't know.
I mean, we did have the ice age, right?
Yeah. We sure did.
Your glaciers were formed and your Great Lakes were formed, correct?
Wiped out all the dinosaurs.
And then but I mean, it was tropical, supposedly, for the dinosaurs, correct?
Well, sure. They were in tropical environment. Then we got the ice age. Yeah.
Then we have the ice age.
And now we're talking hundreds of millions of years, right? So that's...
So you're going... I guess the Earth goes into its cycles. I mean, what caused the ice age back then? what caused the tropical time? Was there climate change? Who are they going to blame?
There's always going to be climate change. That's the
right thing. It's just, who are they going to blame? The cavemen?
There you go.
With their campfires? They were causing the ozone to break up and this and that?
Not only that, my friend. Humans weren't even around back then. So
Right. So who are they going to blame?
Can't blame the stinking cavemen either. Nothing.
Right.
I
mean, these people that come up with all this stuff, I'm sure some of it has something to do with something, but there's no way, no possible way. The earth just changes constantly.
Yeah.
And it just happens.
Right.
They got to look for something to blame, don't they?
Apparently so.
They blame Trump for that plane. Who was it that was blaming Trump for the plane being shot down?
Oh, a bunch of Democrats are connecting the dots. If it wasn't for us.
Yeah, they're trying to, and Goofy Trudeau up north here from across the lake over here was blaming Trump for the stuff, you know, happening.
Has he? Well, you know, they lost a lot of Canadians on that.
Yeah, they did, right.
Blame who really did it.
The Iranians. Because Trump escalated the situation, this and that. Well, people got to use some common sense. You don't send an airliner up when there's a conflict going on.
Well, I mean, you can just keep going one step back. Trump, the plane is shot down, and then the missile, and then the Trump kills the general, but the general was killed because the American embassy was attacked in Iraq, and blah, blah. And you just keep going back and back and back. You know, you can blame everybody at some point.
Right, and you got the Mark Getz blaming Trump for not giving enough information. And what are these people... What are they trying to do? Trying to get a name for themselves or something? The guy was a combatant. He wore a uniform. He killed Americans.
He was a terrorist, too.
He was a terrorist. He, we have been at war with Iran since 1979. They captured our hostages. You know, in fact,
right.
I was there in Washington when I was one of the people that were throwing eggs at the Iranian embassy during the time.
Really?
Yeah, I had to go for work because I worked for the Postal Service at the time.
Yeah.
And I had to go to the what they call the Management Academy. And I was out there for a couple of months. And it happened to be at the time when the Iranians captured the people, you know,
yes,
and held them hostages. I was right there when they were throwing the eggs and stuff at the Iranian embassy.
Wow.
Yeah, and, this has all happened back in 1979. This has been going on for 40 years.
A long time.
We've still been fighting these people. And the reason why is that we just cater to them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about time that somebody put a stop to it. And I agree with the president what he did. He's the commander-in-chief. You have to take the shot at the guy when you have the opportunity. They were doing it to us.
Right.
It's okay for them to cut off our people's heads and all this and that. That's okay, right? But the world doesn't complain about that, right? They don't see the brutality of what they did to the Americans. Oh, because the Americans took him out, we're this and we're that, you know?
Yeah. Well,
and if it wasn't for the United States, 3/4 of Europe would be saying Heil Hitler.
Exactly. People forget what we were doing.
People forget that our blood is on European soil. In fact, our blood is all over the world.
It's all over the place, right? Exactly right. Well, Angelo, thank you so much, my friend. It is always a delight to talk with you on a Monday morning.
It's a kind pleasure of catch to be up. Here and talking with you guys.
Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to talking with you again on next Monday, my friend. And we'll see if by then maybe this whole impeachment thing.
They should just toss it right out.
Right.
And take that asterisk off his name.
There you go. Thank you, Angelo.
You're quite welcome. Have a good week.
Same to you. All right, Angelo Ceresi, the brother of Andrew, the master barber. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, as promised, we're going to talk about Medicare for All and the top 10 greatest NFL coaches.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment. Thank you very much for being with us, by the way, on this Monday morning, Freedom Works. Want to talk a little bit about this Medicare for All that both Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are touting. There, I found a very interesting and well-written article by a woman by the name of Sally Pipes, P-I-P-E-S. She is the president, CEO, and Thomas W. Smith Fellow in healthcare policy at the Pacific Research Institute. And so she writes this this piece about the Bernie Sanders Medicare for All, and I found it very, very well thought out. Wanted to share a little bit of it with you. She says that Bernie Sanders has launched a misinformation campaign on Medicare for All. She says advisors to his campaign released a study showing the supposed savings of Medicare for All. Sanders refused to say how much his Medicare for All plan would cost. He said, quote, "I don't give a number, and I'll tell you why. It's such a huge number, and it's so complicated that if I gave a number, you and 50 other people would go through it and say, oh." So she says, Sally says, this number is huge, all right, about $40 trillion. $40 trillion over the first 10 years. And she says the human cost would be even higher in the form of lengthy waits for care. She says, to get a sense of the crippling tax burden that Medicare for All would, you know, Sanders proposes funding his plan from a new 4% tax on every American household, and a new 7.5% payroll tax. But that's not going to cut it. And so to get a sense of the effects of this tax burden and what it would impose on Americans, look to other countries, she says. In 2019, the average Canadian family of four, paid over $13,000 in taxes just for health care. And that health care bill has risen in Canada more than 65% since 1997, more than 65%. So that's what you're going to get. I mean, it's not free. In the United Kingdom, some 4.5 million people were waiting for a specialist treatment as of March 2019. That's an increase of 40% over the last 5 years. She says the average English or United Kingdom household pays over £5,000 a year to fund their national health system. That is a 75% hike from two decades ago. And so all you have to do is look at other countries and see how much it costs them and how much of their taxes and what percentage of their income goes to taxes to pay for it. And that's the reality. And you don't hear that from Bernie Sanders. All right. It is time. And before we do it, we're going to do our top 10. And, of course, we got football all over the place. This past weekend, we had the NFL playoff games. And tonight, Ed, we've got the National College Football Championship between Clemson and Louisiana State University. I think it's 8 o'clock on ESPN. So quickly, who do you think will win?
Real quickly, though, you mentioned Bloomberg buying a bunch of ads during the NFL pregame shows.
Yeah, that's right.
We counted three in 8 minutes. I mean, there's sometimes twice per commercial break. So he was all over the place.
Yeah, and I think it's having an effect if you look at the polls.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No. People who I was with just laughed at him. Is that the big gulp guy? Yep, that's it.
Yeah, that's what everybody will remember.
But it'll be a great game, I think, tonight, and a lot of NFL scouts are just going to be drooling over it. So.
And they've got some great quarterbacks that are going to be playing. So do you think it will be a close game?
Yeah, I think so. And what it's going to be is this year's quarterback is this guy will be the first round draft choice, and then next year when you've got the Clemson kid, the Trevor Lawrence, he'll be coming out next year. He'll be the first rounder. So
wow,
yeah. So this is money.
So a lot of teams that might be a little doubting their current quarterbacks, and I will mention two teams that I know about, the Bears and the Bucks.
Yep.
Might they be looking at a new quarterback?
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's time for our top 10 greatest NFL coaches, Ed. And when I get to number one, I'm going to ask you who you think it is. So you have to listen so that you don't repeat somebody I've told you already.
Gotcha.
Okay. He's on the drums. Here we go. Top 10. This, by the way, comes from newarena.com. All right. Number 10. John Madden. Remember John Madden?
Yep.
Oakland? Yep. Won over 75% of his games as head coach of the Oakland Raiders. Number 9, Paul Brown. Now, Paul Brown, his name should ring a bell because that's what the Cleveland Browns were named after.
Right.
Okay? And so he goes way back. But he won at a very high level. He won 3 NFL titles, by the way. Number 8, Joe Gibbs. You remember him?
Washington Redskins.
That's right. While Gibbs' second tenure there wasn't great, his first was. First 12 years led to 8 seasons with at least 10 victories. Number 7, Papa Bear, George Halas, one of the founders of the NFL. He won 6 national championships, and he's got the second most wins of any NFL head coach. Number 6, Chuck Knoll. Chuck Knoll, he died a few years ago, I think.
Yep.
But the famed Steel Curtain defense.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry Bradshaw with Knoll, didn't they win like 4 Super Bowls? All right, number 5, Tom Landry.
Mm.
Tom Landry, always dapperly dressed, right, on the sidelines for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. 4th most wins of any head coach in NFL history. Number 4, Bill Walsh. Remember him?
Yes.
San Francisco, the 80s, a decade dominated by Walsh and guys like Joe Montana. Number 3, Vince Lombardi. Now, we all know Vince Lombardi, right? In Green Bay, Wisconsin. Unbelievable run with the Green Bay Packers. Number 2, Don Shula. Don Shula, NFL's all-time winningest head coach. With the Miami Dolphins and also in Baltimore. All right. Ed, we're at number 1.
I don't know how to spell Belichick, but I'm pretty sure you got it written there.
Did you look?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I know you didn't. All right, roll with them.
That was easy.
Correctamundo, Bill Belichick is the best. While his fashion sense is rather atrocious, he's no Don Landry on the sidelines. He's virtually winning everything all the time. I'm getting tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's doing. I agree with it. All right. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back on a Wednesday. Always remember, Freedom Works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.